Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
New at noon, potential tropical cyclone 16 has formed off the coast of Florida, and the coast of North Carolina is now under a tropical storm warning. I'll show you what it means for the coast and for us here.
And state lawmakers will hold the first of two votes on a proposed budget, how the measure will affect you.
And summer is drawing to a close, but state health officials are urging us to guard against mosquitoes. Why the number of West Nile virus cases in the state is raising concern.
And as Elizabeth just mentioned, potential tropical cyclone 16 forming and tropical storm warnings now in effect all along our coast. As we take a live look at the picture right there in Wilmington, you see the clouds hanging over that coastal community. Good afternoon. I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the latest on the track and impacts for the weekend. Elizabeth. This storm is slowly beginning to form off the coast of Florida and Georgia, but well ahead of it, you could see some rain, some thunderstorms along the coast of South Carolina and even down around the Wilmington area. We will see some heavy rain with this system and some strong gusty winds. We take a look here. Potential tropical cyclone 16. And that's kind of a mouthful. And the reason that it's named that is it hasn't quite reached tropical cyclone status. It doesn't have a closed circulation. It has to have a closed circulation to be a tropical cyclone. So it has the potential, because it's close to land, they like to give everybody a heads up. And so that's when they'll use the potential wording. It's moving north at 9 miles per hour. It has winds at 35. And of course, just at 38 miles per hour, it will become a tropical storm. We're likely to see the tropical becoming a tropical storm and the next day. And by 8 a.m. on Saturday, it could have 60 mile per hour winds, potentially on the coast of North Carolina or slightly inland. By 8 a.m. on Sunday, it's a tropical depression and pulling away. But we'll be most concerned about this for Friday night and Saturday. Tropical storm warnings just went into effect at 11 o'clock as well. And that includes some of the inland counties, but none of our counties just yet. Wind gusts are likely to be 40 to 60 miles per hour in the blue shaded area, as much as 1 to 3 inches of rain, some 2 to 4 inch totals, and storm surge up to 2 to 4 feet. We take a look at the model plots, and they're in pretty good agreement. Some of them are a little farther offshore. The farther offshore, the less rain that we'll end up seeing here. Now let's talk about the timeline for rain here. 11:30 on Friday morning. Tomorrow morning, we'll start to see some of the rain pushing into our eastern counties. By the time we get to 3 to 5 o'clock, certainly by the evening commute, we're looking at rain across the viewing area. It becomes fairly heavy overnight, and that's when we'd have the best chance of seeing any flooding. We'll stop it there at around 6 to 8 a.m. on Saturday. You can see it's going to be pretty wet for us during the day, Friday night and into Saturday. We'll move it through Saturday, and we start to see that rain diminishing a bit as that system starts to pull away from us. But we could easily see up to 1 to 2 inches in the triangle and some heavier amounts as you travel eastward from here. So here's what we're looking at with this system. We're looking at some winds gusting in our viewing area up to 40 miles per hour, definitely as much as 1 to 2 inches, possibly higher than that along the I-95 corridor and eastward, and a cool day. Of course, we're going to talk more about specific impacts for the coast coming up. Elizabeth, thanks. State House lawmakers at this hour are finally debating the final state budget deal. The compromise is 83 days late. It was due at the end of June. You're looking live right now inside the legislature where the measure is expected to pass. Republicans who wrote it hold the majority in each chamber. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live now at the legislative building where the first vote could happen at any moment. Laura.
Renee, we're right outside of the House chamber where the debate is underway even as we speak. Now, the budget was just unveiled yesterday, and so lawmakers have had very little time to read those 1,400 pages of information. Democrats were mostly excluded from the budget negotiations, so a lot of what's in it is new to them, and they say this process is just moving too fast. Representative Allison Dahl calls it overwhelming. On one hand, the budget expands Medicaid and provides a lot of new funding for mental health, as well as raises for teachers and state employees. Those are all things she strongly supports. But it also spends hundreds of millions of dollars more on the state school voucher program, which she strongly opposes. She says it's impossible to digest more than 1,000 pages in less than 24 hours.
Just, you know, pay attention. All I can say is, this is moving so fast, and we can't keep up, so I don't know how the public can keep up. And I don't want the public to feel like that everything that's said by any entity up here is 100%.
Adele said she's most concerned about a section that gives lawmakers extraordinary new powers to investigate any entity that receives money from the state. She worries it will open the door to political harassment of state and local officials who do things that Republican leaders here don't like. Both the House and the Senate will take their first vote on the budget today and their second required vote tomorrow morning. The deal will probably be on Governor Roy Cooper's desk by tomorrow afternoon. The Democratic governor will have 10 days to decide whether to sign it, veto it, or let it become law without his signature. Of course, he's been campaigning on Medicaid expansion since about 2015, so it will likely be a very difficult decision for him. Renee?
Thanks for that update. Laura Leslie reporting live from the state legislature. Early voting is now underway for municipal elections in October. Voters will cast ballots for races in dozens of local elections, including Durham and Fayetteville. For the first time, voters will need to bring a photo ID to the polling places. Anyone who doesn't have a photo ID can get one for free from the Board of Elections. Election day for the primary is October 10th. The general election is November 7th. And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a Durham man that was charged in a double deadly shooting at North Carolina Central University back in 2021 was found not guilty. Desmond Harper, this is him here on your screen, was found not guilty on two counts of first-degree murder. This after the defense presented a self-defense argument. Two people, Shamari Brown and Travis Rhodes, both died in the shooting that happened on the NCCU campus just over 2 years ago, September 18th, 2021. The shooting did not involve students.
Look, WRAL is trying to piece together what led to a crash that sent two Halifax County deputies to the hospital. Investigators say a man stole a car in Nash County and then led authorities on a high-speed chase to Halifax town of Weldon, where he crashed into two Halifax deputy cruisers. WRAL's Keenan Willard at that scene at the wreck with questions we are posing to investigators today. Keenan, good afternoon.
Ken, it came to an end right here at this intersection in Weldon. This is 3rd Street and Sycamore Street. Obviously clear this morning. That was not the case yesterday afternoon. It led up, though, to this moment with this video you can see here. A driver, according to investigators, leading sheriff's deputies from I-95 in Nash County all the way up into Halifax. Deputies throughout the way on this high-speed chase trying maneuvers to try and bring him to the side of the road and end it. It did not come to a final stop, though, until this intersection when that driver crashed into multiple Halifax deputies, sending two of them to the hospital. Now, they were listed in good condition yesterday evening. Today, we are posting a number of questions to both the Nash and Halifax County Sheriff's Office, asking them if they believe that this chase was justified and followed their chase policies because it took place starting from I-95 in Nash and ended up in Halifax. We are also working to learn the identities of the two deputies that were injured, as well as the suspect. The Nash County Sheriff says that man who is accused of carjacking someone and leading deputies on this chase did not have any ID on them, and they're still actively working to get his identification and see if he has any prior charges before he faces charges potentially in this situation. He is still, though, as of last night, listed in critical condition in a hospital in Greenville. So questions about his condition this morning. We're working to learn all of this information today and presenting an update on the WRAL Evening News. Ken.
A lot of layers to that story. Keenan Willard live today in Halifax County. Keenan, thanks. We're also working to get an update on the condition of five people who were injured in a crash involving several vehicles. It happened around 11 last night on I-540 near Aviation Parkway. State troopers have not said what caused the crash or if any charges will be filed.
The State Department of Health and Human Services is warning people to be vigilant against mosquito bites following reports of West Nile virus. There have been five cases reported in North Carolina since August 1st. Everyone has recovered. In the past, by this time of year, only two or three cases of West Nile have been reported. To reduce your chances of getting a mosquito-borne illness, use repellents with DEET and dump out standing water.
While COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations aren't as high as they were this time last year, health officials nationwide are still reporting upticks. Now, to help combat the spread, the White House is releasing funds to increase testing. Sean Langeal reports.
COVID-19 continues making a comeback. flu and COVID season is upon us.
Data from the CDC reports COVID hospitalizations rose by nearly 8% for the week ending in September 9th. It's the first time since March hospitalizations rose above the 20,000 mark. It's prompting the White House to issue $600 million in funds to create more at-home COVID tests. The Biden administration is once again allowing households to request up to 4 free tests starting September 25th. Folks can visit covidtest.gov to place their orders.
September and October are an ideal time to get vaccinated, but of course you can get vaccinated even after October.
This comes as new COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna continue rolling out nationwide.
To be considered up to date, everyone 6 months of age or older should get at least one dose of the new version of the vaccine.
The reformulated shots are designed to protect against the latest variants.
This is just like what we do with the flu shot. Every year, the flu shot changes a little bit, but it's trying to match the circulating strains with the vaccine.
Meanwhile, the United Nations on Wednesday approved what they say is a historic commitment to strengthening the global response to COVID-19 and any future pandemics.
The global response to COVID-19 was a story of human ingenuity, but also of human failure. We must not repeat the mistakes of the past when the next pandemic strikes, and we know it will, and other health threats emerge. That means working together in solidarity.
And while on the subject, now is the time to schedule your appointment for a COVID booster. Wake County Public Health will offer the Moderna vaccine. It should arrive this week. You can book appointments online.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Rupert Murdoch has announced that he will be stepping down as chairman from the Fox News Corp and also News Corp. The 92-year-old made that announcement, saying his older son, Lachlan Murdoch, will become the sole chairman of both firms. Murdoch will formally resign in November. Fox Corp's other well-known news media assets include the Wall Street Journal and the New York Post.
Construction on a new elementary school in Durham reached a new milestone today. This morning, the district held a special beam signing ceremony at what will be Murray Massenburg Elementary School. The signing was conducted digitally, and the signatures will be imprinted on the beam. The school is named after Dr. Pauli Murray and Betty Massenburg. Murray is a Hillside High School alum who was the first Black person to earn a degree from Yale Law School. Massenburg was the first Black woman to serve as a Durham school principal. The Raleigh Police Department is teaming up with the local food bank to fight food insecurity for students. RPD's Youth and Family Services Unit is taking part in the back-to-school food drive. It's in collaboration with the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. Volunteers will distribute food, produce, and more to those in need. You can stop by 4205 Spring Forest Road between 4 and 6 today.
A murder suspect on the run, released by mistake. Next at noon, we'll tell you how it happened and the help he had on the outside and what's being done to track him down.
Also, the growing controversy in one Louisiana neighborhood over a beheaded Halloween display. Why the homeowner says he is not taking it down.
Also, deal or no deal in the ongoing writer's strike. Why there's a sense of optimism that the more than 100-day-old strike could be ending soon and get production on your favorite TV shows ramped up again.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
An urgent manhunt is underway for a murder suspect who was mistakenly released from a jail in Indianapolis. Kevin Mason walked free just 2 days after he was arrested. Police say they waited 6 days to alert the community so they could tail Mason's girlfriend, who picked him up and later bought a new cell phone and men's clothing. Mason is wanted on 3 warrants out of Minnesota. A clerk in Indiana says she thought she was correcting duplicate bookings and lifted 2 holes in the Mason's file.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, convicted murderer Alec Murdaugh pleaded guilty to a crime. He actually admitted in federal court to 22 counts of financial fraud and money laundering. He is serving life without parole in the South Carolina prison for shooting his wife and son. He told the judge he wanted to be held accountable for stealing from his clients and do right by his surviving son. Prosecutors are expected to ask that any federal sentence Murdaugh gets run at the same time time as any prison term.
Michelle, thanks. Boston College has suspended both the men's and women's swimming and diving teams indefinitely over hazing. The university did not specify exactly what the hazing was, but released a statement saying that the college does not and will not tolerate hazing in any form. The NCAA defines hazing as any act committed against someone joining or becoming a member or maintaining membership in any organization that is humiliating, intimidating, or demeaning, or endangers their health and safety. The suspension comes just weeks before the university's first swim meet. A Utah woman faces several charges after assaulting the mayor. This is a moment that shocked bystanders. The woman jumped out of her car and started screaming in the mayor's face. Then she spit on him and tried to slap him. Cell phone video captured the entire confrontation. Witnesses say the woman is a child of a writer for a local newspaper. The writer mentioned the mayor in several articles that he didn't like.
A Louisiana man is facing major backlash for his Halloween display, but he says he will not remove it. The homeowner is known for his elaborate Halloween decorations, but people say this year's display might have gone too far. The display depicts what appears to be a beheaded Jesus held in the hands of a devil surrounded by nuns and a priest.
This is just decorations for fun. It's not real Jesus. These are foam props that I made. I'm very sorry if this hurt anyone, if this caused anyone to feel sad.
Is it protected under free speech? Yeah, but does that make it right? You know, that's my real question. And would you do this with another religion? Because I don't think you would.
Well, since the post went viral, Moriana says he and his girlfriend of 3 years parted ways. She received numerous threats about losing her job.
Training camp for the Carolina Hurricanes begins today. The team will practice at PNC Arena in Raleigh and Invisalign Arena in Morrisville. The Canes' first game of the regular season is just a few weeks away on October 11th. Preseason games start next week. That time already. Week 6 of the high school football season is almost here. Make sure to catch High School OT Live tomorrow night at 7. It is in the High School OT app and wherever you stream WREL. Then Chris Lee and the crew will have the most area highlights on Football Friday at 11:35 on WREL.
Well, tickets are now on sale for the Triangle's newest walkthrough Holiday Lights event. The DVAP will transform into Wool Ebo's Winter Wonderland, bringing joy and holiday fun to families and friends all across our viewing area. It all happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. You can enjoy shopping, get your picture with Santa, or take a ride on the holiday train. Now, to purchase tickets, visit WREL.com and enter Wonderland in the search bar to learn more. I want to turn our attention now to the forecast. It's now a WREL weather alert day starting tomorrow.
Yeah, let's get you up to speed on this storm that will affect a lot of weekend plans, Elizabeth.
That's right. So the weather alert day begins at 7 p.m. on Friday and lasts until about 3 o'clock on Saturday, or until conditions look like they're improving. We're looking at the potential for 1 to 3 inches of rain and some significant winds with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. That is likely to cause a few minor power outages. It shouldn't be terribly widespread, but it's definitely going to be very messy for us late Friday through much of the day on Saturday. Here's a look at the big picture. We already have some showers and thunderstorms that are developing down along the coast right now. And of course, we do have our potential tropical cyclone 16. As I said at the beginning of the newscast, they put potential up on these systems just so that people know that it's coming. I mean, it doesn't quite have all the characteristics of a tropical system just yet, but it's likely to, and it's close enough to land that they want to let people know to go ahead and prepare. It's moving north at 9 miles per hour with winds at 35. It is likely to become a tropical storm by later on this evening, by 8 p.m. today, and then 8 a.m. on Friday. It's continuing to move northward, potentially crossing eastern North Carolina during the overnight period Friday through Saturday morning. There's Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and the center of circulation could be somewhere along the Outer Banks at that point, and continuing to push north past Norfolk and on toward D.C., becoming a tropical depression and then making a right turn past New York. When we take a look at our tropical storm warning, that's in effect for the entire coast. Again, rain at 1 to 3 inches, likely to have some totals that are at least 4 inches there too. Storm surge, looking at 2 to 4 feet of storm surge along our coast. You can see the storm surge watch starts right here around just south of Atlantic Beach and continues all the way up the coast, including the Outer Banks, for the potential for 2 to 4 feet of storm surge. And that includes some of the inland areas too, along the sounds and the rivers. We take a look at future cast and talk about when the rain arrives here. Here's lunchtime with some of those first rain bands starting to push in. It may be a little slow at first. There's 5 o'clock, so around Rocky Mount and Goldsboro, seeing some of that rain, and then continuing to slide eastward as we get through the overnight period. On Saturday, we're looking at the precipitation beginning to taper off around the middle of the afternoon. We're still likely to have a lot of wind around at that point. We take a look at the big picture here. Again, Saturday, you can see the rain swirling, spinning around that low. And potentially even early Sunday, there could be a little bit of lingering cloud cover, but this should move out pretty quickly on Sunday, and we'll see partly cloudy skies. Here's a look at the potential rainfall that we'll see out of this system starting Friday and ending maybe early Sunday morning. Likely to be about an inch to an inch and a half, maybe up to 2 inches right around the triangle. And then along the I-95 corridor, likely to be 2 to 3 inches, and then 3 to 4 inches a little bit closer to the coast. Farther west you go, the less rain that we'll end up seeing. Winds gusting up to 40 miles per hour in our viewing area Friday night and Saturday, and gusting up to 60 miles per hour along the coast, which is why we do have that tropical storm warning in effect. Lots of events happening over the weekend. Benson Mule Days begins today. It's going to be fine today and good up until maybe around lunchtime or early afternoon tomorrow. And then the rain and the wind will start to pick up. Saturday is just not going to be a great day to be outside, but Sunday not bad. Partly cloudy and 78. Football Friday likely to be affected. Almost all the games should be seeing rain by the time the games begin, and the winds will start to gust 30 to 35 and continue to pick up in intensity, looking at temperatures in the 60s. Right now, everything is quiet. We're looking at some cloud cover out there, temperature of 76. We'll see a high of 83. Then we have our weather alert day for parts of Friday and Saturday, and Sunday looks a little more quiet. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about our coastal impacts.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, this weekend's weather could play a big role in Fayetteville's 45th annual International Folk Festival. Coming up today at 5, Gilbert Bays hears from those behind the festival about preparations.
Also, in less than 10 days, federal emergency child care funding will run out. Today at 4, WREL's Shelley Jackson explains the impact North Carolina families can expect to see. Our new news continues now. Getting your pet groomed could be as simple as a trip to your local Walmart, where the company is testing its new pet care center.
Plus, better deals and more ways to pay. How Uber Eats is using AI to give customers more options. Walmart is dipping into the pet industry. The retailer opened its first pet services center about 30 miles northwest of Atlanta. The center offers routine vet care like exams and vaccines, as well as grooming and a self-serve dog wash. Walmart says it will offer low, transparent prices for pet owners. The company is also planning a new pet pharmacy, which will soon be available online and through the Walmart app.
Well, this federal agency just dropped a music album, and it might not be what you expect. The Consumer Product Safety Commission typically posts notices on recalls, but its newest public service announcement is a 7-track album. The album Where Safety Now Haven't, contains songs by K-pop and even reggaeton genres. Each song has safety tips targeted to young adults, from wearing your helmet when biking to putting your phone away while driving. You can download it for free at CPSC's website. Uber plans to give customers a new way to find deals and payment options. The company plans to launch an artificial intelligence-powered assistant later this year or in 2024. Uber says the new feature will allow users to have conversations with the assistant on deals, popular restaurants, and reordering meals. The app will also have a new section called Sales Aisles to help shoppers find the best ways to save in their area.
The Powerball jackpot is growing again. It's now $725 million after no one matched all the numbers from last night's drawing. The winning numbers were 16, 27, 59, 62, and 63. The Powerball was 23. The multiplier was 3. Now, someone in North Carolina matched 4 numbers and the Powerball and also played the multiplier times 3. So the ticket is worth 150 grand. The next drawing is set for this Saturday night right here on WREL. Some possible good news for writers on strike and everyone who watches TV. The deal that could come today and how long the strike could last if a deal is not reached.
And a quarter of women may have irregular heartbeats after menopause. The two factors researchers have found that led to the health issue.
And here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. We'll be right back.
shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
There's hope for your favorite TV shows and movies. The Writers Guild of America and Hollywood producers say they hope to finalize a deal today.
Yeah, and as Chloe Miles reports, this is the closest the two sides have been to reaching a deal since the strike began more than 100 days ago.
Could there finally be an end to the months-long writer's strike that's ground Hollywood to a halt? Both sides meeting again today, and this morning, there's new hope for progress after major studio heads came to the table for the first time Wednesday, signaling a significant shift in the talks. A source close to the negotiations telling NBC News that talks on Wednesday were productive and that they're hoping for more progress on Thursday.
But there's hope in the air for the first time in a long time.
Late Wednesday, the Writers Guild of America, which represents more than 11,000 writers, issued a joint statement with the AMPTP, which represents streaming services and studios, including Comcast, the parent company of NBC Universal, saying simply that both sides met for bargaining and will meet again Thursday. But sources close to the negotiations tell CNBC that after Wednesday's meetings, writers and producers are near an agreement and hope to finalize a deal today. The source is also telling CNBC that if a deal is not reached, the strike could last through the end of the year. NBC News learning that top executives attended the negotiations for the first time, including Disney's Bob Iger, Netflix's Ted Sarandos, Discovery's David Zaslav, and NBC Universal's Donna Langley. Those talks are usually led by labor relations representatives and top AMPTP staffers.
So I'm really hoping that they're really coming in good faith.
Online, skepticism from some WGA members. One posting, "I'll believe it when the WGA tells me they've reached a deal." The main sticking points between the two groups remain wage increases, residuals in the streaming era, and the use of artificial intelligence.
This has been devastating as a WGA writer on strike.
The effects felt by hundreds of thousands as Hollywood has been shut down, with actors also on strike in a separate dispute. Now, from the picket lines to A-listers, many urging both sides to move forward.
I feel as if everybody understands that it's time to get on with it. But we're all in support of a decent and fair wage.
And that was Chloe Miles reporting. Now, several prominent writers are now part of the Authors Guild class action lawsuit against OpenAI. John Gresham and Lincoln lawyer writer Michael Connelly among the 17 authors who say the company trained its chatbot using the writer's work. The lawsuit claims OpenAI could possibly see a profit by creating new works in the author's styles, but the writers would not get anything. OpenAI contends using information from the internet qualifies as fair use under U.S. copyright laws.
Police are searching for a man after he injured a police officer, stole a truck, and got into four different crashes. WRAL's Laura Levine outlines the high-speed chase that lasted hours and the four places the driver crashed.
We're talking about a pretty chaotic chain of events happening here in Durham yesterday and into the overnight hours. Now, we know that suspect right now still on the loose. Let's show you exactly where this all began near Durham Tech on East Pettigrew Street and Briggs Avenue. Durham police attempted to stop a vehicle driven by a man with active warrants. As that suspect attempted to take off, he struck an unmarked police vehicle, causing the door of the patrol car to strike the officer's leg. A short time later, police received a call that the suspect had crashed his vehicle on Briggs Avenue near Person Street and was trying to carjack a pickup truck. He stole the truck and refused to stop for officers. The suspect then crashed at Briggs at Riddle Road and then took off once again, crashing on Fayetteville Road at NC Highway 54. That's near South Point, where all of this wrapped up.
And this is video of a search for the suspect in this case in the area of Aviation Parkway and Globe Road. Raleigh police helped Durham police on the scene as they searched through a white truck.
And as far as that Durham police officer, we know that he was treated at the scene for minor injuries. We're still asking police right now if they have a description they can share of the vehicle that suspect can possibly be in. We know several warrants are out for his arrest. Laura Levine, WRAL News in Durham.
Raleigh police are looking for the person who stabbed a man and cut a woman early this morning. The man is in the hospital with serious injuries. This happened just before 2 a.m. on Featherstone Drive. The victims told police the person came from a wooded area before the stabbing happened.
Our county by county coverage takes us to Johnston and Cumberland counties. After 20 years of serving the town of Selma, Chief of Police William Thomas is retiring. Better known as Chief Billy, he worked in many roles, starting as a dispatcher, patrol officer, patrol captain, and began as chief in 2018. Chief Billy will officially retire October 1st. The town says he will continue to live in Selma in retirement. In Fayetteville, three busy roads will close this week or next. Starting today, NC-53 South, just off I-95, will close through tomorrow. East Russell Street going toward downtown near Eastern Boulevard is closed through tomorrow as well. And next week, Eastern Boulevard will close from Tuesday through Friday. These are all railroad crossings that will close for maintenance.
A local favorite is making their way to the finale of America's Got Talent. America voted the 82nd Airborne Division's All-American Chorus through to the finals.
82nd Airborne Division Chorus!
You can see their excitement on stage. After the show, they described how nervous they were right before the announcement.
My heart was beating so loud, I couldn't even hear Terry talking. I was just waiting for him to say the results. I as soon as the results happened, you saw me shaking. Like, I was jumping up and down. Couldn't even control myself. Forgot I was in the military at all.
Thank you so much, bro.
America loves them. They are one of 11 acts to make the finale. They'll perform live Tuesday at 9 p.m. on WREL, and we'll find out the next night if they win it all.
The Hall of North Carolina will be watching. Well, still to come, the best time of day to exercise. The significant results you could see when compared with working out during other day parts.
And the effects of an artificial sweetener may go far beyond a person's lifetime, possibly extending into the next generation. We'll explain the surprising findings from a new study on aspartame.
You're looking at a cloudy Wilmington. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking a storm system that's developing along our coast that's leading to a WRL weather alert day starting tomorrow. Of course, we'll fill you in on that in the next 10 minutes or so. We always thank you for watching WRL News, available on YouTube TV and your WRL app on your TV or streaming device. The FDA needs to do more to penalize retailers that illegally sell to children. That's what a government report suggests. The report says the FDA conducted more than a million inspections for underage sales for tobacco from 2010 to 2020. Between 2019 and 2020, about 10% of the stores had violations. The report also suggesting sending a warning letter, or the FDA can issue fines. The report says online sales to kids is also a growing problem.
One in four women may experience irregular heartbeats after menopause. A recent study says insomnia and stressful life events being contributing factors. This health issue is known as atrial fibrillation, or AFib. That's an irregular or often very rapid heart rhythm resulting from the heart's upper chambers beating out of sync with the lower chambers. These episodes may also come with lightheadedness or shortness of breath. The condition is not life-threatening, but it does require medical attention. A new study is raising concerns about the long-term brain function effects of an artificial sweetener. Florida State University conducted a study on mice using the sweetener aspartame. Researchers found the offspring of mice that consumed aspartame had problems completing or taking longer to do tasks compared to mice that did not consume any. The researchers now want the FDA to look into the multi-generational impacts of the sweetener.
And when you hear something else to consider, the time of day you work out could affect your weight. Research from Franklin Pierce University found when you exercise earlier, you're less likely to be overweight than if you worked out later in the day. The scientists found early exercises had a body mass index 2 units lower and a shorter waistline. The scientists say exercising between 7 and 9 a.m. showed lower overweight risks. Well, the North Carolina family suing Google after they say its navigation led to a man off a collapsed bridge, while they say the problem could have been fixed earlier.
Plus, Anheuser-Busch has stopped a controversial practice with its Clydesdale horses. How animal rights groups stepped in to call for change. How
happening right now in the WREL Live Center. We have an update to a story that we've been following since Tuesday after an off-duty Dunn police officer was shot at a Cumberland County gas station. We now know the names of the two people involved. Daniel Locklear arrived at the gas station with a female subject. An off-duty officer, Joshua Elliott, witnessed a reported domestic dispute between them and intervened. That's when Locklear drew a handgun and began firing as he ran out of the store. As a result, Elliott was struck. Elliott returned fire, striking Locklear several times. Elliott was transported to a hospital, treated and released. Locklear is still in the hospital. Once he is released, he will be charged with attempted murder, among other charges.
A North Carolina family suing Google for negligence after their loved one drove off a collapsed bridge while following Google Maps directions. Philip Paxson died last September when he drove off the bridge and drowned in Hickory. The lawsuit filed in Wake County states people told Google Maps of the bridge collapse before Paxson's death, but it didn't update the information. Google is reviewing that lawsuit.
Climate change is making damaging weather events more common from coast to coast. That's not only putting people in harm's way, but could raise insurance premiums for millions of properties. Sue Guzman looks into the new study outlining the possible spike.
Insuring a home can be expensive, but for a growing number of Americans, the costs may only be going up. According to a new study from the nonprofit research group First Street Foundation, insurance premiums for roughly 39 million properties, about a quarter of all homes in the entire country, could start rising. Researchers say the culprit is climate change, citing how it's making extremely damaging weather events more common, putting more homes in harm's way. The report says states that experience a lot of hurricanes, wildfires, and flooding, like California, Louisiana, and Florida, could see some of the highest hikes in premiums.
Every wall got destroyed. Everything in the floors got destroyed.
Many homes in Florida, like Jeannie Fagan's, were badly damaged during Hurricane Idalia.
Right now, it's at 100,000. It's very emotional to think that you lost everything you worked so hard for.
Meanwhile, some parts of the country that weren't prone to extreme weather events in the past are now at risk. A National Climate Assessment report found that the Northeast is seeing the largest increase in rainfall than any other region. The challenging weather patterns are influencing potential new laws in states like New York to protect homeowners.
The new law would require disclosure of the knowledge of the seller of whether the property is within a 100-year or 500-year flood zone, whether there have ever been any flood insurance claims made for the property.
That study from First Street Foundation found 7% of properties in Wake County are at risk of insurance corrections due to climate change. Counties closer to the coast have a higher percentage, with 36% in Johnston County and 45% in Cumberland County.
And speaking of our coastline, we've got a storm system forming along our coastlines that's leading to a WREL weather alert day starting tomorrow. Let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center to fill us in.
Yeah, that WREL weather alert day is going to start around 7 p.m. or so on Friday, and then last until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, depending on how long we have that threat for flooding and strong winds. 1 to 3 inch rain totals out of this system, and we're going to see gusts up to 40 miles per hour. We take a live look at Carolina Beach right now, and you can tell the surf is already beginning to kick up a little bit. We're going to see winds gusting up to 50 miles per hour here at Carolina Beach and up to 60 miles per hour up the coast around the Outer Banks. Here's a look at what's happening right now. We do have some showers and thunderstorms that have started to fire up here across the southeastern corner of North Carolina, not too far from Carolina Beach, and then down into South Carolina. That's that low beginning to develop right now. It would be considered a potential tropical cyclone. It doesn't quite have all the ingredients to be a tropical storm, but it looks like it will. So they put potential on the name of it to let people know that it's likely to develop into a tropical storm by later today or early tomorrow. It's moving north at 9 miles per hour with winds at 35 miles per hour. We'll pause it right here. And you can could see at 8 p.m., 40 mile per hour winds, and at 8 a.m. tomorrow, 50 mile per hour winds. That would put it at a tropical storm most likely. And then it potentially comes on shore here in eastern North Carolina during the day on Saturday. Of course, that's the center of circulation. And the closer you are to the center, the stronger the winds will be and the heavier the rain will be. But we're pretty close to it. So we're going to see some heavy rain here and some strong gusty winds also. This moves out really quickly on Sunday. So if you had Sunday plans outside, as long as you don't have a lot of damage to clean up, which should mostly be closer to the coast, it looks like Sunday will be a decent day to get outside and enjoy. Along the coast, we have a tropical storm warning in effect now. Winds gusting up to 60 miles per hour, rain totals up to 4 inches, and storm surge 2 to 4 feet in this area. Of course, rip current danger will be high starting now. This is the current conditions there. That's likely to be high all the way through the weekend, maybe even early into next week. We also have a high surf warning that's in effect for the Outer Banks. So lots and lots of advisories there for the coast for this weekend. We take a look at futurecast for us. We start to see some of that rain working its way inland right around lunchtime, moving into the triangle around 3 to 5 p.m. And then we just continue to see those bands of rain coming through. Those bands of rain will contain some gusty winds, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. This is going to be Saturday morning at around 8 a.m. We'll pick it up and continue to see that rain rotating through. It's likely to be pretty wet here all the way through about the middle of the afternoon. And then after that, we start to see the rain tapering off a little bit, but it is still likely to be windy until that storm moves a little farther away. Around the triangle, we'll likely see maybe 1 to 2 inches along and east of I-95, likely to see 2 to 3 inches of rainfall. And we do have a medium risk for flooding for Friday night into early Saturday along the triangle and then eastward. Power outage potential will be low, but you can see what some of the gusts are likely to be. Likely to be gusting up to around 40 miles per hour in our viewing area. And again, gusting to around 60 closer to the coast where we would have a better chance of seeing some power outages. We're looking at a cool day on Saturday too. High of only 68 degrees. It's a little warmer, 78 for Sunday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, a group of friends tried to check into a hotel, but no workers were there to help them. Coming up, how the cheer took over the hotel and even helped other guests before they even got their own room. As we wrap things up here, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. State House lawmakers at this hour are finally debating the final state budget deal. The compromise is 83 days late. It was due at the end of June. Both the State House and Senate will take their two votes today and tomorrow morning. The deal will likely end up on Governor Cooper's desk by tomorrow afternoon.
Early voting is now underway for municipal elections in October. For the first time, voters will need to bring a photo ID to their polling place. Anyone who doesn't have a photo ID can get one for free from the Board of Elections. Election day for the primary is October 10th. The general election is November 7th.
We're working to get an update on the condition of 5 people who were injured in a crash involving several vehicles. It happened around 11 last night on I-540 near Aviation Parkway. State troopers have not said what caused the crash or if any charges will be filed. Well, 3 friends got to a hotel in Tennessee and no one was there to help them, so they took matters into their own hands. They documented it all on TikTok. The videos show them getting behind the desk and helping other hotel guests. They even served breakfast, saying they enjoyed stepping in to help. A manager from another hotel finally showed up and checked them into a room. The hotel says their overnight employee left without telling anyone. That person was fired.
They should hire them. Yeah. The iconic Budweiser Clydesdales will no longer get the ends of their tails cut off. Anheuser-Busch said it is no longer engaging in the practice of docking the horses. That's when the tail's hair is cut short and parts of the tailbone can be shaved off. PETA and other animal rights groups sent a letter to the company asking them to stop. The company says it stopped the practice earlier this year. Now, coming up at 4 o'clock, in less than 10 days, federal emergency child care funding will run out. We'll take a closer look at the impact North Carolina families can expect to see.
NBC News Daily is next in WREL. Another local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.